It is Wednesday. It is 4:30. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I should say it's 4:35 to be exact. And this time each week, whenever we can, we have a little segment that I like to call Broad Appeal, where we elevate women in leadership positions, women candidates and women elected officials, and women talking about politics writ large. Hence, broads with lots of appeal, and I mean that with deep and reverential respect. I'm often joined by a colleague in broadcasting here at Civic Media, Dr. Kristen Lyerly. You can find her great program on WGBW on Saturdays. Kristen, tell the folks what time your program airs at.
And WISS in Oshkosh. Awesome. We air at 3 p.m., and this week we are talking about food. You know when you go to those events and there's a ton of food left over and you look at it and you think, are they really going to throw that stuff away? They don't have to. There are things that we can do. So we're going to talk about how we can get food to the people who need it.
Yeah, a little bit less food waste. We're pretty good at that here in this country. Epic piles of it apparently every year. Certainly not helped by the Trump administration incinerating tons of food that was otherwise destined to help needy families across the United States. But I digress. Let's bring on our special guest. She is a candidate for the State Senate District 17 here in the state of Wisconsin, a newbie to politics, and thus someone I definitely want to talk to. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Lisa White. Thanks for being here, Lisa.
Thank you so much. Thanks for inviting me.
Let's start with the obvious question. Why in God's green earth did you decide to get involved in politics, given that we're in the current state of play? It seems so contentious, so personalized, so awful. Most people are tuning out. Why are you not only tuning in, but stepping up to run in the 17th Senate district?
Well, I tell you what, my interest in politics goes back to way back 1974. Talk about broad appeal. I'm kind of an old broad. I saw our very first state senate candidate or actual elected senator who was a woman, Senator Katie Morrison, in 1974. And I was one of the nerd kids that stayed after the school rally and got her autograph. And after that, I engaged in high school government, Badger Girls State, and did a lifelong actual leadership thing. And I was the firstborn of seven kids. So right there, boom, leadership on a farm. And I was president of the Potosi Chamber of Commerce and helped elevate the Potosi Brewery from the ashes, made that viable. And I always have been very interested in leadership. I've been an entrepreneur most of my adult life. So what made me jump in finally was, I think I probably owe Donald Trump a thank you note. Thanks for the fire in my belly. Because in 2015, when I saw the antics he pulled, and I didn't think he would ever get this far. I have been in kind of a state of continual shock about that. And when Roe v. Wade was overturned, that was probably the straw that broke the camel's back. In addition, my company, the Painter Lady LLC, employs a pretty prominent immigrant population. And I have eight grandkids, three of whom have autism, and I'm really concerned about their future. And as if I don't have enough right there to motivate me, my 91-year-old dad was 7 years old when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, and he described the terror they felt when they thought that there was an existential threat to democracy. And now at age 91, and my mom is 86, he is shuddering at the thought of the dismantling of democracy, and it's a domestic threat rather than an external threat. Mm. All those things combined with my extreme passion for my clients, my family, being a lifelong resident of Grant County and of Southwest Wisconsin, this culture is in my soul. How can I not run? I have the business acumen and the skill set. How can I not run?
I love that. How can I not run? And Lisa, everything that you just said just made me go, yes, 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 more of that. And then I thought 1974 was when we elected the first woman. That was 50 years ago. And still 51. Only, yes, and only a third of our state legislators are women. And that is a record number. It is crazy.
And on top of that, we haven't had a senator from this area of the state, the Southwest counties, since then. 51 years. And I feel like sometimes the people in this portion of the state have been made to feel invisible and underrepresented. And I am one of their own, homegrown. And the cool thing is that since I do business as the Painter Lady LLC, one of the top 2% women-owned businesses, I feel like the bridge builder who can come from the West, understand people because I do business there, and I do business in the East, in the greater Madison area. And I understand the cultural divide. I speak to it every day for my bread and butter. And I feel like I can be that bridge builder and kind of coalesce the population and get them to align and be cooperative.
How do you do that, Lisa? What are your thoughts about, both as a candidate and if you're elected, how do you help people find those places of connection and actual shared interests and values? Because that's been one of the things that continues, I think, to be a challenge for many candidates and many elected officials, is you can see that people have shared interests. You can see that people have shared values, and yet our political debates seem to be dictated to us top down, right? From the national into the state, into the local, when in fact, most people's impact, their lives are impacted greatly and most directly by their local government. In other words, it's from the grassroots up. And so we end up in this highly fractured but artificial place of division. How do you plan to bridge those gaps as a small business owner to say to other small business owners, hey, we deserve to do better? How do you do that?
I'm sorry.
Please go ahead.
We're breaking up just a little bit. I think it got through though. Let me know if I'm breaking up on my end. I love that question because I think the number one thing that we have to do as representatives is to listen. To simply listen to what people need. And in business, I found that out. When I designed my business, one of the things I noticed that was missing was there was a contractor-centric approach rather than a client-centric approach. Mm. I am a voter, everyday, hardworking person, listener. And I think when we get marching orders from the top down and artificial overlay and chaos, certainly, we miss those voices. Also, I think a lot of, there are voters out here who I have seen become disenchanted, complacent. They feel that lack of empowerment. Back to not having good representation for decades. I think just the idea that there is a real person here listening to them will electrify that voting base and bring people to the table. Otherwise, their voices would not have been heard. Mm-hmm. I think that the key is to listen, find that we're probably arguing both sides of the same coin, and become a liaison.
Lisa, you are so right. There are so many people out there. We're all involved in politics. We're all paying attention, but most people aren't like us. And many, many people feel disenfranchised. They think the government, Republicans, Democrats, everything, none of it is working for them. They're looking for something different. They're looking for someone who will actually hear them. What kind of a response have you seen in the district where you have lived your entire life, now that you've stepped into this very public role?
Well, what I was pleasantly surprised by, this just happened yesterday. My campaign support gal, my right-hand gal, and I were doing some phone calling, right? Shock of my life, I thought I was calling a person with a known cell phone number, and I got a 30-year-old male on the phone. And that demographic has been being won over by the other side, if you will. And what once I engaged him and started to ask him questions about real life, like what wakes him up at night, what's wrong with politics, he was on the phone for a good 10 to 15 minutes. And this was a person who ordinarily I feel like would have just given me the hand and said, I'm a Republican, I'm not talking to you. But by asking him a couple of strategic questions and really trying to hear him, that now had happened once, but twice. We had two young gentlemen on there. And I asked permission to speak with them again, and they were incredibly enthusiastic, and one even texted a thank you message. And I think having been in the trades and being able to bridge the gender divide actually helped. Being able to, and this is kind of funny, I say it with a lot of love in my heart, man speak and woman speak, being able to find the common ground of relatability. Because when you think about it, all humans, what do we need? We need something good to eat. We need food security. We need medical, right? We need a warm place to be. I don't care what color, gender, or, you know, it, just boil it down. Let's get to personal economy, what each person needs and what their real time concerns are. And you can relate. That's kind of my plan.
I love it. Relate, find the points of common need. And those are common needs that I feel are being met less and less, that elected officials, the more gerrymandered, the more extreme, the more, the less competitive districts are, the more it enables elected officials to tune out and not hear what people are saying they need, and instead assuming we know or that an elected official knows what people need. It's such a fundamentally humble approach, Lisa. We've got just a couple minutes before we have to take care of some business. How does your experience help you approach these questions with that humility that's necessary to actually hear and listen to what people are saying they need?
I think over the years with employing people and listening to their needs, when you write out their paychecks, in my small company, they become family members. And they bring things to me that are intensely private, have a huge effect on them. Right now, my immigrant population living in terror, I see that in real time. Also, you know, having a large family, I've had a lot of things to overcome. I have had a divorce, and my grown children, as I mentioned earlier, I have three autistic grandchildren. I feel like being the age that I am and having gone through all of those things, it only lends to him. And have the background as a mental health nurse also. Mm.
We're talking with Lisa White. She's the candidate, one of the candidates for the 17th State Senate district here in the state of Wisconsin. We're going to talk to her about the role that political parties play, especially when they pick their favorites, especially when they do so early in election cycles. You're not going to want to miss that hot conversation coming up on the other side. I'm Maggie Dawn. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.